Oh, hey there. Today is April 4th, my birthday. Am I going to publish it today, this podcast? I'm not sure, but I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the podcast, The Uncomfortable Truth, where I purposely don't go out of my way to ensure that my listener is comfortable with what is being discussed. I believe that people grow the most and mature and develop character and personality by stepping out of their comfort zone. So I would love to challenge that to all of my listeners every day, just as I like to be challenged. Do I like it? I mean, when someone tells me like some shocking stuff that makes me uncomfortable, especially if it's like truths about me, I don't like it for sure. At first, I'm totally resistant. The truth sucks sometimes. It's hard to swallow. But you know what? Afterwards, when I've had time to like digest the information, I'm really, really grateful to that person for being honest with me and for telling me whatever it was that makes me uncomfortable. So today, it is my birthday. Yes, I am 40 today. I turned 40 today. I'm actually super excited about being 40. First of all, I'm already a grandmother. I became a grandmother this year while I was 39. So, I mean, I think mentally people are more prepared to be 40 than they are to be grandparents. So turning 40 was like super easy for me. It doesn't scare me. I feel so lucky to be alive. I am so lucky to be alive. You know how many people die every day and how many people are fighting for their lives today? And all the people on the planet who are still alive and are still healthy, we are survivors. We survived this far and we are so blessed and lucky to be alive. Even if sometimes life is hard and life can be tough and life can be really challenging, it's still life and we're alive. We're here to see it and grow and breathe and experience life. And I really believe that every single morning that you wake up, and I mean, you could be a night owl. I'm actually engaged to a night owl. My fiance is a professional poker player, and we are getting married this August, in like 5 months. And he, you know, we've had almost 4 years for both of us to adjust to each other's lifestyle. And guess what? It's doable. It's not easy, but it's doable. If you're in a relationship where your shifts, your work shifts and your life shifts are kind of opposites, I would like to encourage you and tell you that even though it can be really difficult sometimes, it is doable and you can be happy and fulfilled in that situation. It's all about just finding solutions. So here's a little bit of relationship advice. As some of you may know, I am a life coach and I specialize in relationships, especially the relationship you have with yourself. But truly, I do love to get into the nitty-gritty of relationships between, you know, family members, colleagues, friends, and obviously my ultimate favorite is actual romantic couples. I was just born to have a passion about relationships and wanting to see them succeed. But more than that, wanting each individual in the relationship to truly, truly make the kind of choices that lead them to have a fulfilling life. So here's a couple tips, relationship advice, and I'm going with the flow here. As you may know, my podcast is totally unscripted. I literally just hit record and go with the flow of the moment and my inspiration. So the advice is going to be the same. There's not any particular structure to this advice. I'm not targeting any particular people, although probably at the end of the session, I will probably be able to describe in detail who exactly the message is for. So, okay. This is a huge thing that I've learned in the past couple years being in the relationship that I've been in. And, you know, I would say that I never really practiced this in any other relationship because, well, back in the day, guys, I was really scared and, well, scared. Let's just say that the 6-month mark was kind of how long it took me to see the true colors of a person. So it really went past that, other than long, long time ago. But hey, we're not getting into that. For now, what I want to talk about is a relationship hack that I found to really help me. And I think that it can help anybody facing any kind of challenges in a relationship. Before I start, I just want to say, okay, there's a lot that humans can endure. We can put up with all kinds of things. And when we're in love, we tend to tolerate much more. We endure much more. And honestly, sometimes that's how you just know you're in love. When you're not in love, the little things bug you to the point of you can't even be with the person, okay? But when you are truly in love, I'm telling you, your level of tolerance is like 1,000-fold. There's a forgiveness inside of you, almost like the kind of love like when you have children, you know? Your children can be so mean and say such hateful things and do such hateful actions in the, you know, in the middle of their rage or anger or tantrum. But you know what? We always, no matter how they treat us, we have this unconditional love for them. We forgive them. We give them another chance. We hope that they learn from it. And when you're in love, that's the usual tendency. So let me just say that it's really important when you're in a relationship, if you suspect that you are being abused verbally, mentally, emotionally, obviously physically, sexually, and yes, you can be abused in all those ways in an intimate relationship. So if you do suspect that perhaps you're being abused, I'm gonna, you know, Google is a great tool. It's not a doctor, it's not a therapist, it's not a psychologist, but there's a lot of information out there pretty much defining and listing and describing the definition of all kinds of different abuse, okay? And before you start like accusing your partner of being abusive, chances are, okay, we all have a little bit of an abusive side to us. Yeah, that's human. Chances are, okay, let me give you this challenge. If you ever find yourself Googling to see like, is this abuse? What is this? Is this acceptable? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all those questions that we like, that like, I don't know if guys do this or if it's like a girl thing or a woman thing where we're like, is this normal? We like look on the internet for answers because, you know, we want to be anonymous. We don't really want to talk to our friends about it. But let me give you this challenge. When you are searching to see if your partner possibly has signs of abusive traits, can you please keep an open mind and try to see if the things you say and do also sometimes fall into that abusive area? This is hard. This is difficult for people. And, okay, so it's along the same topic, okay? I know I'm a little jumpy from topic to topic here, but this will all come full circle, okay? My mom is a pastor, so like she literally went to Bible school in Saskatchewan, memorized like thousands of verses. My mom has written, I think, 2 or 3 books, and she's a missionary, and she prays for people, and she's just awesome. She's a preacher. She really helps people with, like, deep inner healing, and I'm totally going to interview her. I kind of want her to be the first person I interview because, like, she's my roots, and a lot of who I am is because of her. And not only that, but my mom is actually, like, an incredible human being. She's like a Mother Teresa, okay? So all this to say that I grew up in church with the Bible and all that great stuff. And there's something that I realized when, like, much later in my life, like, probably just in the last couple of years, about the Bible. So hear me out, even if you're not, like, into Christianity or anything, the Bible, like, whether you like it or not, is like a very significant historical document, okay, that even atheists, historians rely on for many, many historical facts. Okay, so there's a book in the Bible called Proverbs, and if you guys have never read that book, it's pretty darn cool. It's basically written by, and if I'm wrong about my facts, I'm so sorry. I am not, like, a scholar. But there's basically, the book of Proverbs was written by the wisest king who ever existed. Okay. He was the wisest man who ever lived. And he wrote this book of Proverbs. And basically, it is a book just packed with the most wise sayings and everything. And sometimes it's even a little bit depressing because this guy goes through phases where he's like, what is the point of living? Like, this guy was human. He was like, I have everything, I've done everything, and still I'm not really satisfied with life. There's all kinds of, you know, sort of like thoughts and wonderings that he writes about, but also, like, the most amazing advice and wisdom and just, like, gold that you can take for your own life and apply if you apply it correctly. So here's the thing is, when you're reading through the book of Proverbs, the author often describes what a foolish man does or says, and what a wise man does or says. And most of my life, when I was reading that, those, like, verses about, like, the foolish man does this, or he doesn't do this, he doesn't shut his mouth, he doesn't listen, he talks, you know, all the different things that they say what a foolish person does, I realized that everybody who ever reads this book, there's probably a good chunk amount of people who don't have this perspective, but most people who read that book never ever see themselves as the fool. They think about, okay, who do I know in my life who does that, who says that? But that's not the point. The point is not, like, the fool in your life will say this and do this. No. The point is, what does the fool do and say? And are you that fool sometimes? To be able to read it with that perspective is so eye-opening. Because it's like, you know, the fool will take a decision before counsel. Well, you think in your mind, oh yeah, I know this girl, like, or this guy, how, like, they decided to get married so quick, or they launched this business, or they invested in this without thinking. But what about you? What about that last time you impulsively, you know, made a call, a decision, and, you know, you didn't even bother. It was an important decision. It was a significant decision. And you didn't hesitate to make it without getting any kind of counsel from anywhere. Okay. Does that make you a fool? I don't know. Does it? I mean, I've done that a million times because, I mean, I trust my gut, right? But I think in certain situations, there are certain decisions that we take that if we don't actually, like, humble ourselves enough to get some wise counsel, we could actually be making like a very foolish mistake. And that's coming back full circle is why I'm saying when you look on the internet to see if whoever in your life is like either not a good friend or a toxic colleague or a toxic relationship, whatever it is that you're looking for, please accept my challenge and try to recognize the points that describe you. Again, this isn't a comfortable thing because who really wants to look at that themselves and say like, oh my God, what I just said there or what I just did there was abusive. Guys, I've done it. I've recognized times where I was abusive, like where I would use like my hurt and pain and fear to try to control a situation or to make someone feel bad. That's manipulative. It is. And depending on the severity, manipulation can be a form of abuse. So be open to where you can grow. Okay. So now that we're off the topic of abuse, what I want to talk about, my hack that I wanted to talk about was a certain kind of question that you ask yourself when you're in a situation, especially in a relationship, whether intimate, friends, whatever, colleagues, clients, when you're in a situation that you are unsatisfied, unhappy, feeling stuck, feeling miserable, whatever, it's all like there's something not good about it and you feel, you know, sort of trapped to like stuck almost in a sense, like you feel like I love this person, I want them in my life, but I don't want to be treated this way or I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to endure this kind of thing. There's a really good question to ask yourself before you start thinking about removing yourself from the situation or walking away. And guys, I've had to do this many times, okay? Ask yourself, no matter what the situation is, what can I do myself, all in my power, to make me happy if this situation doesn't change? What will make me happy if this situation doesn't change? What can I do for myself to be happy despite these circumstances? Is it possible? This is a loaded question, guys. It's a loaded question. Because first of all, if you're someone that hasn't found the courage yet to even express the fact that you're unhappy, hurt, feeling disrespected, or whatever it is, like, if you haven't even had the chance to, or the courage to express to the other person or group that you're not happy with certain things and you would prefer them to be different, then you're already kind of like narrowing down your choices of what to do in this situation. You need to find the courage to talk. You need to find the courage to say, and you know, not just, hey, I don't like this, stop doing this, I don't want this anymore. No. If you're gonna like tell someone that they're doing or saying something that makes you feel sad, lonely, disregarded, whatever feeling, unpleasant feeling that it gives you, you need to be ready with what would actually help. For example, if I go up to my boss and I say, listen, I don't like being micromanaged. I don't know if it's necessary, but it's literally killing my work vibe. I can't do this. And I've been in that situation, by the way. Like, literally, I was suffocating because I was being so micromanaged. But you need to actually talk about it and say how you feel. And when you do, when you say, I don't like being micromanaged, don't micromanage me anymore. Stop asking me about every little thing that I did in my day. Stop checking how I'm spending every hour. Just trust me that I will deliver what I need to deliver and get the work done. You know, whatever is the to-do list, it will be done. You just need to trust me. Well, you need to be able to offer them a solution, an alternative. For example, you know, you have to also understand, I understand that maybe you're trying to maintain a certain quality control or, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to maintain by micromanaging you. You can be understanding of why they're doing that. But if you don't like it, be prepared to give them suggestions. Like, you want to reassure them, listen, how about we try this? You get off my back. Okay, maybe say it more politely than that. You get off my back and test me for 1 week where all you do is just check and see that the work is done. And if I prove to you that even without you checking in on me every 5 minutes or me having to report back all the time, test me for a week and see how I do. And after a week, if you're still having issues, let's rediscuss, because I'm the kind of person who's way more productive when I'm not micromanaged. I actually think that I can do a better job for you, more productive, better results if you don't micromanage me, and I would like to prove to you. So do you see how you didn't just approach them with like, stop micromanaging me, I'm not happy, I don't want this anymore? You got to be ready with an alternative solution. So you got to think it through. All right. So the same thing applies for, like, you know, intimate relationships. Listen, when you pick up your phone in the middle of a conversation, it makes me feel unimportant. You know, whatever it is that makes you feel those unpleasant things, you got to find your voice and it's got to come out. And I will probably do another episode on how to find the courage to finally speak up, because I had trouble with that for many, many, many years. Like, I don't think I even really truly paid attention to my feelings or even tried to express them until my 30s. And, you know, I'm trying to help you avoid that. But yeah, so that's step one, all right? That's step one. You're unhappy, you're unsatisfied, you want things to change. Step one, express. Share your thoughts, share your feelings, and see, maybe you don't have to change anything. Maybe they will change and things will get better. That's step one. Now, let's say you've done the talk and the person or group or employee or boss or whatever, client, they're not changing. They don't accept your request. They prefer to continue with how things are, even though they know that, you know, you're not comfortable. They're making the judgment call that, or maybe they just can't, like they don't have the willpower, or they're just forgetful, or, you know, they just don't have the character right now to be able to provide to you what you're asking for and need. At that point, that's where you ask the question, what can I do to be happy in this situation, even if it never changes? What can I do for myself? Guys, I can't answer that question for you. You know the answer to that question. And it's, like I said, it's a loaded question. And it's better if it takes you days, weeks, even months to come with an answer. I mean, you can even write it down. Think about what it is that you need, or think about what it is that you don't want, and think about all the other ways that you can replace that. What else brings you that feeling that you're needing? What else, you know, can you do to not have to experience, or to not, you know, be bothered or be hurt or whatever by whatever's happening? it can be a long thought process. And you know what? If you ever need a hand with a little bit of direction and guidance, you're always free to reach out to me. I can do some life coaching and just help you and guide you with like finding the answer to that. Because let me tell you, when you start finding the answer to all of those little questions in your life, things will start to shift. And suddenly, slowly, you're going to be this person where despite whatever circumstances you're in, you'll be able to find your happiness or your way out. But let's start right now by saying, let's start by saying you might find a solution. And I think you will. And I think that you have the power within you to find it. So I'm wrapping this up. I know it's like, you know, it went kind of deep and I'm like abruptly ending things. But I hope that I leave you with that question, and I hope that it works you and that you will find within yourself some answers that could change your life. Well, that's it for today, guys. Cheers to 40. And I'm new at this, but hey, if you like my podcast or anything I said struck you, or you have ideas for a suggestion, I would really love for you to like reach out, write a comment, a review, like, subscribe, you know, all that stuff that the podcasters say. I guess I'm a podcaster now. All right. Bye.